but it's down to Cologne Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the matchup.
Moving pictures on the backfield is coming on. Moving pictures on the far outside, reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is Moving Pictures with a 9-1 stutter and 131.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine. And it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the Arbroath
Claim. The Claymore is again. The Great Gladiator, the Gladiator Gris, la paix en province, une 74e victoire en carrière.
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Greetings, everybody. Norm Borg, your host from the studios at Rideau-Carlton Raceway, host to this year's Ontario Sire Stakes Grassroots Championship and the National Handicapping Challenge coming up this November. A lot of good things happening at the home track here, and we trust a lot of good things are happening wherever you are. And while things in Ottawa are looking good, just across the river in Quebec, anything but good. And I speak, of course, of the racing situation in that province. It is really, to put it bluntly, a tragedy. Growing up loving this game, I used to look to what was called Blue Bonnets at the time as a real showpiece track, a real jewel. It's where you had the Hervé Fignon, the Rick Zerons of the world, Jack Copas's, great horses, Albatross raced there, Brett Hanover. Now there is no racing at that legendary racetrack called Montreal. I've been through it a couple of times since its closure, and you almost get the sense that you're at a wake if you love the game as much as I do, and I'm sure you do, or you wouldn't be listening to this thing. We are going to try and figure out what in the world is going on. We've got Ian Weatherly, who is the chief executive officer of Attraction Épique. We're going to try and get through the baloney, because there's been a lot of it in this whole story. We're going to try and get to the facts. That's coming up next on Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio in episode one of our investigation, if you want to call it that. We just want to clear the air. What is going on with racing in Quebec? I think to say it's a mess would be fair. But to double check with that, I'm going to talk to one of the main parties in this whole thing. And that is, of course, the owners of the four racetracks in Quebec and Montreal in particular. The CEO for Attraction Épique is Mr. Ian Weatherly. Ian, welcome to Trot Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, so help me out here. Where it stands now is what? I mean, it's before the courts, your restructuring plan, that is. The judge in this case has had to put your request for a further extension before you present your restructuring plan in abeyance until she decides whether or not she has a conflict?
That's correct. The lawyers for the Horsemen's Association are stating that the judge, Judge Codivo, has a conflict. Interestingly enough, Norm, when the this case started back in late June of last year, and I recall one of the first hearings at the Montreal Courthouse, the judge made it very clear that she might have a conflict because her husband works for Ogilvy Renault, a major law firm that represents our lending group. And at that time, the lawyers for the Horsemen's Association said, no problem, the lenders are not depositing a motion, so there's not a problem. So I guess what happened, the Horsemen have changed lawyers two, three times, and I think what happened is that the latest group of lawyers weren't aware of the declaration the judge had made previously. So I want to correct your opening statement,
sure,
saying what a mess in Quebec. It's a disaster,
okay,
situation.
Okay, I didn't want to overstate. Well, okay, so now the situation is your company is allowed to continue operating your off-track betting on the site of what was Hippodrome Montréal. And what I guess the horsemen don't realize is that by bringing up this whole issue of a possible conflict after the fact, they're allowing you to operate unfeathered, or untethered rather, or unfettered, whatever the case may be, without having to have live racing.
Well, now I think you got to go back a little bit and look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture was, you know, Lotto Quebec has not delivered the merchandise. Our deal was to renovate three tracks in Quebec and build a new one in Montreal.
Right.
And that was all based upon Lotto Quebec building the famous Ludoplexes,
Yeah.
And we would be entitled to 22% of the revenue from 1,900 machines. The Ludoplex in Trois-Rivières in Quebec opened. We renovated Trois-Rivières in Quebec. We subsidized purses in 2007. Our total investment is over $70 million, and the Ludoplexes are a flop. And if you look at a case, I was up at Mont-Tremblant on the weekend, and that was supposed to have been a Ludoplex at Mont-Tremblant. Guess what it's going to be now? It's a casino.
Well, of course.
Opening a gym because a Ludoplex doesn't work. It didn't work. We had a problem. We went to the industry last March and we said, guys, we got a serious problem. The Ludoplexes aren't delivering. We're going to have to reduce purses. We're going to have to cut racing days. Work with us. And they did. But we needed more time, and eventually the horsemen grew impatient and said nope, and they put the pressure on us. We had no alternative but to file for protection under the Bankruptcy Act. Since then, we've worked diligently in trying to get a new deal from the Minister of Finance. And we had the parliamentary commission that delayed us 3 or 4 months. We had the election called in Quebec. Finally, all that was over. We got a new offer from the Minister of Finance. And, you know, these are tough economic times. The governments are in deficit positions. We got an offer. It was far from perfect. But what it would have allowed and called for was purses of $13 million, which is about 80% of what was committed to under the original agreement. And we went to the Horse Association and we said, guys, this is not a great deal, but it's a deal that allows us all to continue. And we said, our lenders have to take a big write-off. Mr. Massicott would get no return on his money, write down his investment. And we said, if we don't take this, the government's going to pull the offer. And guess what? The Horsemen's Association, they don't have a plan. They haven't said what they're going to do if they didn't take our plan. And they said no. And 3 days later, the Minister of Finance withdrew the offer. And that's where we are today.
Okay, so here's my question. When the original deal happened and the government cut that deal with the Ludoplexes, yada, yada, gave you a whack of money, why would you not focus on Montreal? Because that is the biggest market in the province, as opposed to, with all due respect.
We focused on Montreal, and our plan was to find a new site in the north shore of Montreal and build a new Ludoplex, and build a new hippodrome together with a Ludoplex. The problem we had a good site tied up in Laval. Excellent site. Highway 13 and 440. Perfect site for a new hippodrome and a gaming hall. Unfortunately, we had political interference. A minister of the current government came out publicly and said, I'm not going to have a gaming hall in my municipality. And that set us back hugely.
Who was that minister?
Madame Cushman.
Okay, very good. So, what happens now?
What happens now? Well, as we indicated in our letter that we issued on our website on Friday, the situation is a disaster. Everybody suffered horrendously. I mean, the breeders, the trainers, the jockeys, our staff, we've cut hundreds of people. It's a disaster. And what we're trying to do now is work with the court-appointed controller and have a restructured business. I think what's probably going to happen, Norm, is that we're going to put up for sale many, if not all, of our assets because we're under the protection of the Bankruptcy Act. We have to come up with a plan. We have to establish a plan on how we're going to repay the creditors, and that's the next step. And the question we want to ask, and we've asked the horsemen, and we haven't got a good answer. They said all along, our offer was, the controller's offer was too good for a traction hit pick. We think that's it was not too good for a traction hit pick. It was good for the industry. But they kept on saying no to that. And we said, what is your plan? And what we heard was, well, we want to put you guys in bankruptcy. Very good. But what's your plan? I still, to this day, we have not heard the plan from the Horsemen's Association.
Ian Weatherly, the CEO for Attack Shunapik, is our guest on Trot Radio. Both you and Attack are angry at the government. Here's a question I would ask for either of you to ask the government. Okay, now, correct me if I'm wrong. The government owns the casino in Montreal, correct?
Through Lotto Quebec, correct.
Right, okay. There are slot machines there, right?
Correct.
Okay, so this is what I don't understand, and I don't have my law degree yet. I'm just a kid from the neighborhood who loves this game. Why would they want to go with VLTs at racetracks when they can be available, and they are available anywhere in the province? I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, but a guy can play a VLT while a lovely young lady is performing the ballet in that province. So, what's the attraction to go to a racetrack?
That's a very good point. I mean, what happened was, originally, when Mr. Massicott and other people who were interested in making an offer to buy the horse racing business in Quebec, was told by Lotto Quebec that the Ludoplex would be a new gaming hall. It would have, it wouldn't just be VLT machines. And that's what we were sold on. And in reality, what happened? Lotto Quebec had a lot of pressure from the Santé from Public Health, backtracked, and put on the market a product that the consumer has not accepted.
So there's political interference, you're saying, insofar as the people at Santé Quebec, Health Quebec, in an effort to try and curb problem gambling, are telling the government, look, you can't have slots or you can have VLTs. Here's my question. The most you can win on a VLT is $500.
Correct.
So gambling habit or no gambling habit, who cares? Get it out of there. Put slots in.
We've suggested to the authorities that, you know, the gaming at the hippodromes is well controlled. We have good security. We ensure that there's no minors. We abide by the rules. Why not increase the maximum to 1,000? But the, you know, these are political questions, and I think we all know that. I think today in Quebec and as in most provinces across the country, VLTs and gaming is not politically popular. And we're seeing the effects of such.
Well, it seems to work on this side of the river. I mean, obviously the slots have in many ways saved the industry.
You don't have the VLTs in a local bar.
No, thank goodness.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Montreal over the weekend, and I saw people playing VLTs at eating and dining establishments. I mean, so again, there's no real attraction, I would think, as a fan, to want to go to a track to play a VLT machine. So
that's exactly what's happened in the Ludoplexes in Trois-Rivières in Quebec, and that's why, as I mentioned to you previously, that Lotto Quebec transformed the Ludoplex at Mont Tremblant to a casino.
Well, okay, so you're selling, or you say you might be selling, most of your assets. That means Hippodrome de Gatineau, which is where I go when I want to be just a fan of racing and not an employee. Obviously, Montreal, Quebec, and Trois-Rivières, all for sale. Has anybody said...
Well, Montreal, don't forget, is leased.
It's
on a lease, and it's owned by effectively the government.
Those are for sale.
That's all Montreal.
Right, those are for sale. Has anybody made an offer?
Well, when I say that they're for sale, I'm anticipating as what the court-appointed controller will likely propose to the court in the near future. Remember, we have a independent controller appointed by the court from Richter, Yves Vincent, who oversees our file. And my, you know, Mike, I say, I guess based on what we've seen and what discussions we've had with Richter recently, I think it's likely that he will go to the court to say that we're going to put some, if not all, the assets for sale.
Any bites in the meantime? Any offers?
I have not seen an offer for any of the properties,
okay,
not yet. But as I say, there has been no formal announcement that the assets are for sale.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, according to the horsemen, their best-case scenario would be for Internationale Pique to go away. Sounds like this is what would happen.
Well, I got to remember, too, that the government's press release, and I would encourage you to reread that press release that was issued when the horsemen had said no to the offer that was recommended by the court-appointed controller. And the press release that came out 3 days later said that the government was withdrawing from supporting the horse racing industry. And that's one that you should read, because it's one that's very, very harsh, but it's what the government said they were going to do, and that's what they did. There'll be no VLTs associated with horse racing. So that's where we are today. We will not have VLT revenue for much longer.
And I just want to clarify, would that be the release from Ms. Monique Jérôme Forget?
Correct. I think it was February 20th.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and I understand what you're saying. And the government is basically leaving you guys hanging because you don't have an agreement with the horsemen. I think that's a pretty lame excuse.
The government of Quebec is no longer going to support horse racing.
How many jobs are going to be lost?
Oh, it's a disaster. I mean, we've got over 3,500 people in the industry. And what are we going to be left with? We're going to be left with racing... one location, we're going to have simulcast revenue, no VLT revenue. You tell me one track in North America that could make money without having VLTs.
I don't think there's one right now, certainly.
And that's the predicament we're in today. But I still haven't heard from Attack what their proposal is, what their solution is.
We'll try and get that out of them.
All right.
Ian Weatherly, I can only wish you the best and Attraction Epic. This is a terrible situation. A once showplace of harness racing in North America is sitting there vacant for all intents and purposes. We would certainly love to see racing continue in the province of Quebec, in particular Montreal. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That's it for this edition of Trot Radio. We will be looking at the other side of the coin in our next podcast. We'll be talking to Richard Carper, who is head of the Harness Horse Union, who was the former head, now a director of ADAC. We'll try and get his side of the story. And that's all coming up on the next edition of Trot Radio. Trot Radio is a presentation of Standardbred Canada. Technical producer Chris Knowles. A presentation produced by Boar Communications.